Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. We've been looking this week at current events in the light of Bible prophecy. Really, they are it's a crisis in this world right now. And we've just had our prayer today from our Prayer Mountain prayers. We pray together all around the world every Wednesday at noon Central Time. We stream that prayer live. And the focus of our prayer today was the church, for one thing. We have seen that the enemy is always trying to bring division in the church, and we've seen that that division even flowed over into America in a spirit of division, trying to hit us in America and hit the church. So we've been praying about that the body would be one and we'd walk in love and unity to each other, that the glory might come. And then the other thing we prayed for is this crisis that we've been talking about all the week that's developed in the Middle East almost to the boiling point, so that some are saying there will be a war between Iran and the West sometime between April and June. Now, we don't know if it's going to be or not. We don't know. It could be the devil trying to push things too soon. And so we've had prayer for it, and we're asking the WWPs to continue in prayer. That means the worldwide prayers. We've been talking this week about who's at the crisis point, and we've been kind of focusing on Syria and Iran. We looked at Syria in the Bible. Today we're going to look at Iran in the Bible. In the book Jihad, the Holy War, The Destiny of Iran and the Muslim World by Lester Sumrall, there is this statement. I edited that book for him in its original edition. And Dr. Sumrall said, "Neither modern Iran nor the Islamic world can escape their past history or their future destiny." And so we've looked a little bit at Syria's history and destiny. Today we'll look at Iran. There are three names by which Iran is known in the Bible. They are Elam, E-L-A-M, Persia, P-E-R-S-I-A. And there are three names by which it's known, two in the Bible, Elam and Persia. And then, of course, today it is known as Iran. The first place that we see it mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 10. At the birth of the nations, when Noah and eight souls, Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives, got off that boat. And then it gives us the families that grew to be called nations. It's the first mention of nations in the Bible, Goyim. And Noah had a son, Shem. And Shem had a son, Elam. So Elam is Noah's grandson. That's the first place that we see Elam, one of the names for Iran in the Bible, grandson of Noah. Perhaps Elam becomes a family, the son of a grandson of Noah becomes a family and then a tribe. And this is perhaps the oldest known people group in the Bible. Elam has a brother whose name is Arphaxad. Arphaxad was also Noah's grandson. And the Jews and the Arabs descend from Arphaxad. From the Elamites come the people that would be the Persians. Another name, of course, for it is Persia. It was known by Persia for many, many, many years. In 1935, a Shah, who was for the West and aligned with the West as an ally of the West, and he had a big he had a renaming of the country, and he renamed Persia Iran. And I can remember in my lifetime when he had, I think, a several thousand year anniversary birthday of the nation of Persia, and Iran had become Iran. And they spent so much money, and it was just really terrible, millions and millions and millions of dollars. And this is when the Ayatollah Khomeini was able to rally the people against such a Shah, who would be in bed with the West, would not be living his Islamic faith, and would be spending so much money. Now, that's a little bit more modern. the first war in the Bible had to do with Elam. Abraham conquered the kings that were under Chedorlaomer, and Chedorlaomer was the king of Elam. So in Genesis 14, when he conquers those five kings, Abraham, that they were led by the king of Elam, Chedorlaomer. Iran, of course, had to do with the Persian Empire. If we will look at Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and you remember that Babylon, who was the first nation to overthrow Israel, their king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that is given to us in Daniel chapter 2, what would be in the end of days. And there in that dream, this Nebuchadnezzar saw a great image. The head was gold. The arms were silver. Two arms were silver. The belly was copper. The King James says brass, but in the Hebrew it's copper. And the legs were iron, and the toes partly of iron and partly of clay. And that head, of course, was told by Daniel. He interpreted the dream to Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, and he said, "You're the head of gold, but you're not going to last. You're going to be overthrown. And who will overthrow you is the silver. Silver is inferior to gold. It will be an inferior kingdom." And all of the kingdoms were inferior. But the silver kingdom had two arms. It was the Medes and the Persians. And then the Persians, of course, we find Iran. The book of Esther is about how she saved the Jewish nation after that the Babylonian Empire was overthrown by the Persians. There was a wicked man named Haman who devised a plot. He was an Agagite, and he devised a plot to get rid of all the Jews. And then we know how God saved those Jews through Esther and her relative Mordecai. We see Elam throughout the Bible. We see it over in the New Testament. In the New Testament, in the book, well, I think we see it probably in the wise men. I think the three wise men were probably from Iran, Iraq area. And they had studied the stars because Daniel, the prophet, had been the chief magi. We can prove that to you from the Bible. I told it back in our Christmas story. And so he had told them that a star of a great ruler was coming. They would see the star, and that star was prophesied in the Bible. So they were looking for that star, and they were looking for that king that it marked. They were there in Acts chapter 2. There were people from Iran in Acts chapter 2. And now we see in the Bible what the Word of God has to say about Iran in the last days in their judgment. In Jeremiah chapter 49, Jeremiah the prophet in chapter 49, it begins with concerning the Ammonites and concerning Moab. And we see that, look at Moab there in verse 47 of chapter 8. Moab and Ammon were the two sons of Lot's daughters that became the Moabites and became Jordan, modern day Jordan. You know that it has as its capital Ammon. And that word Ammon comes from one of those sons, and they're called the Ammonites in the Bible, the Ammonite, the Moabite. And they are in present-day Jordan. Now, there's kind of a little clue here that gives us in Jeremiah chapter 49, 47. I will bring again the captivity of Moab in the latter days, King James says, the Hebrew says end of days, saith the Lord, this is for the judgment of Moab. The entire Middle East lay asleep. All of the time that Israel was scattered throughout the world, her neighbors of the Middle East that were the ancient nations, Moab, Ammon, Elam, Iraq, Babylonia, all of those ancient nations were asleep. They were not in the headlines. Mostly they were like desert tribes roaming over them. You never heard about them in the news. But God said, I'm going to bring them back. That means he's going to bring them back into prominence. When Israel came back to her home, so did all of the ancient neighbors arise. And what had been a sleepy Middle East was waked up at the beginning of the 20th century by two things. World War I, which they had been under the Turkish rule. Ottoman Turkish Empire for 400 years. But in World War I, the Turkish Empire went in cahoots, became allies with Germany. So the Western allies defeated Britain and Australia and France defeated the Turks. And so Jerusalem then came back into the hands of nations that were Christian nations. And then eventually came and was promised to be the homeland of the Jews again. So the Middle East woke up as a result of two things. Number one, World War I. It was freed from the Ottoman Turkish Empire. And number two, the discovery of oil. Today, that discovery of oil is still a key thing when we consider the Middle East. Now notice here in Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 47, I will again bring the captivity of Moab in the end of days. This is for the judgment of Moab. I want you to look at the end of chapter 49. We have a series of countries, old time nations spoken of, and prophecies given concerning what will happen to them in the last days. And so here we see in verse 39, it shall come to pass in the latter days or end of days, I will bring again the captivity of Elam or Iran or Persia, saith the Lord. It doesn't say that here, but in all the case it is for judgment. So, as Lester Sumrall said, they cannot escape their past history, and they cannot escape their future judgment. What is the future judgment of Iran now that they are right there on the scene in the newspapers? Are they about to be bombed? Are they about to be destroyed? Are they about to be overrun? Are they about to overrun Israel? We're going to find the answer to that. We don't know how all the ifs, ands, and buts about it, but it is definitely mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And we talked about this yesterday, how that Russia, under Moscow in Russia, whom the Bible calls Gog here in Ezekiel 38, there will be an invasion that will come down from the north. The main ally, number one ally, that's marked out for Iran is, in verse 5, Persia. We know that that is Iran. And they're going to come down in an alliance, and they're going to come down into the mountains of Israel. That means they're going to land there. The mountains of Israel are the central spine of Israel. It's Bible Israel. It's where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and Jesus walked. It's the road of the patriarchs. It's what the world wants to call much of it the West Bank. But we see that they are going to come down allied with Russia, but that God is going to not only bring them down there and allow them to come down there, but that he's going to defeat them in a magnificent supernatural way. Verse 23 says, thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am Jehovah. We invite you to read that for yourself. This is Billy Brim saying to you, find a good church to go to. Have Sabbath peace, Shabbat Shalom. And we are so thankful that you have been with us today. Go on billybrim.org, BILLYEBRIM.org, to hear the archived week of radio broadcasts that you must hear to understand everything that we've talked about this week. And please do pray about it. This is Billy Brim saying Shalom, Shalom. Until next Monday.